to recognize our mums today. This will be a fairly simple sermon, not a complex outline, so I don't even have a handout for you. It's just going to be rather straightforward. Just observations. Now, I don't know what your background or your experience may be in church, in the Christian circles. We acknowledge that there are different church cultures, I guess, in different parts of the world, different just from church to church, even in Sydney. And so there have been different attitudes over the years toward women. And you can certainly see such a great variance throughout history and around the world, even in cultures today. The view and the treatment of women is so wide and various, and it has certainly become a critical issue within our society over the last few decades in Western society. And there are so many ways in which to be wrong. There are extremes in either direction that are based on personal attitudes, experiences, values, and so on that are subjective or that are culturally or socially influenced. And you have on one extreme, you have women being treated as though they are mere property, as though they are just the slaves of the family, and there's no respect, no regard. In some cultures, even in some religious systems, the children of the family are given more honor than their mothers. And I've observed this in family units, and I won't identify exactly what that was, but it seems to be a trend there. And then you have a strong reaction to that that has gone to the other extreme, to where egalitarianism has distorted a reasonable view of women and suggests that there's no difference between women and men, and the women could do absolutely anything that a man can do. Notice that they never say a man can do absolutely anything that a woman can do. But we know that in reality neither is true. There are differences. There are uniquenesses between men and women by God's design. But the problem is that when people are looking to their own self-interests and arguing for one extreme or the other without looking to God's design or God's view on these things, where we find balance. And there we find actually a kind of freedom. Just as Pastor Mike mentioned the trend that we begin to see. Emily, who's unfortunately not well and not able to be with us today, but she and I just had a conversation this week about how she's noticing this trend toward women starting to value once again domestic life. And I think that's wonderful. I'm so thankful that my mother valued domestic life. I'm so thankful that my wife, Angie, has valued domestic life. This is so important, but there has been a trend for some time that suggested that a woman isn't being fully fulfilled, that she is not reaching her potential unless she also works in the professional workplace. And if she does this, plus that, plus everything else, and there have been decades of women being so stressed over trying to be these super people who can do it all, and it's not reasonable. And it ends up denigrating women. And actually, there have been attitudes that look down upon the woman who actually chooses to prioritize her husband and her children and her household as though somehow they were lesser women, that they're settling or that they are being repressed. I don't think that's what we see in the Bible. I don't think that's what we see in God's design. And I think that there is a value for a woman to be unique from a man, to play a unique role in the family and in society, and that that should be honored. That the women in those roles should be honored for those roles. A domestic role is not a role deserving of less honor. It is to be greatly appreciated. And that's why today I am going to this passage to Proverbs 31, where I want to recognize the virtuous women in our lives. And I know from experience growing up in a, we'll just say, a very conservative type of a church that maybe wasn't quite balanced yet in some of their views, that this Mother's Day message, whenever it came to Psalm 31, you could feel the collective sigh or groan of the women in the church. Oh, no. It's supposed to be Mother's Day. It's supposed to be honoring women. And then people would turn to this passage and say, if you're a virtuous woman, you need to do this and this and this and this and this. And the women shrink in their seats feeling like, oh, no, I can't possibly measure up to this ideal woman of Proverbs 31. I want to present Proverbs 31 to you, those verses regarding women, perhaps in a different way than you have heard before. And it's not just out of a desire to be unique. It's not out of a desire to conform to a different agenda. It is because I think it's what's really there. I think we have to be honest with the text and see what's really there and what's not there. And I believe that this is something that should be uplifting to women, and it should be a challenge to the others in a woman's life to recognize her virtues. Now, first of all, I think we see in this passage not a job description. This is not all the boxes that must be ticked for a woman to be a virtuous woman. This is rather a description of the types of traits, the types of qualities that are found in a virtuous woman. I hope you can see the fine distinction in that thought. First of all, I invite you, there's so much text I'm going to have to jump around that I'm not trying to get it all up on the screen here. So I invite you, if you can find a copy of that for yourself, even if you're on your phone, you're on a device. I preach usually from the English Standard Version, the ESV. So if you pull up Bible Gateway, you can choose the translation, follow exactly where I am, but you can translate easily enough from any good English translation. But it's Proverbs 31. I invite you to have the text in front of you if you can, so that you can identify the different verses and parts of verses as I look at them. Because the approach today is kind of drawing some observations, some principles from the text. It's not a highly theologically structured message. But by way of introduction, we see the introduction to this text. It's actually the beginning of Proverbs 31. So I call your attention to Proverbs 31, the first two verses, which casts the setting for us. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. All right, so first of all, you need to understand that what's about to be said, what we're about to read in this text, was actually coming from the mouth of a woman. This is the queen mother instructing her son, the young king, and telling him things that are important for him as a king. Now, she begins with instruction to be sober in his role as a king. She talks about the dangers of excess in use of alcohol, because a king needs to be clear-headed. And then the next thing that she goes to is what to look for in a wife. And so this is actually the wisdom of the mother of King Lemuel when we come to verse 10. So it says, the words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him, and these are her words: "What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, son of my vows?" And she's apparently sitting the king down to challenge him on his values and his goals. So we come to this portion in reference to the kind of woman he should be looking for in verse 10. Let's just read the passage, and then we'll come back to draw the observations, the principles from it. So beginning in verse 10, she says, "An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She's not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Well, I want to look first at some of these excellent qualities of the virtuous woman, and then we're going to look at appropriate responses from the family for such a woman. So I'm just drawing a few basic principles here. And once again, we need to recognize that these are specific, all these details are really illustrative of the qualities that this mother is talking about, the things that she's putting forward to her son. In essence, if I were to put it into kind of a paraphrase or modern language, I think this mother is saying, now look, there are many beautiful women out there. But as we would say today, you know, beauty is only skin deep. As it says later in the passage, you know, beauty is fleeting, right? Charm can be deceitful and that sort of a thing. So don't just look for the woman who just grabs your attention instantly necessarily. Look for the woman of quality. Now, what kind of qualities are we talking about? And so then she begins to describe, these are the kinds of things. So as I say, it's not a job description. It's just saying, these are the types of traits to look for. These are the sorts of things you want to see in a woman of quality, a real virtuous woman that you should appreciate, that you should value above those surface things and those lesser things. So first of all, she puts her family and her household first. And let's skip around with me now, if you can, with these particular verses. The first verses 11 and 12, once again, I'll reread these verses as we come to them. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. How is that? How can he just trust her and have no lack of gain? Because she's reliable. He knows that his wife is committed to him and to the family, and that she's going to do what's best for them. The heart of her husband trusts her. She does him good, not harm, all the days of her life. So you see that she's putting her family, her husband, in a place of priority. Verse 15, we see that she rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. Here we have, this is so true. This is, again, not saying, okay, women, you, every one of you ought to be getting up at 5 in the morning and cooking food. That's not, it's descriptive. That it probably already happens. Do you remember getting up and going to school and having a lunch packed for you? Mom had to get up extra early to do that. Special days, special, you know, meals or something like that, and, you know, modern times, turkeys for Thanksgiving in my experience and that sort of a thing. You know, that thing has to start early in the morning. That turkey's got to bake for hours. The rest of us are sleeping comfortably in our beds while mom is up early getting that thing going. It's just something that the mother who puts her family first does, according to need, just as it's required. Verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. Now, scarlet was something of particular value. Purple and scarlet were colors of royalty because the processes that were required to develop those colors, those dyes, were extensive. And so it was known to be, this is the expensive stuff. If somebody's clothing, if their fabric was scarlet, if it was red or if it was purple, that was the expensive stuff, right? So her family is well clad, right? Because she has made it so. She has made a priority to care for her family. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household. That's rather sweeping. Does not eat the bread of idleness. I know this is true of my wife, and I think you can, and this is the challenge for the rest of us to be the ones appreciating this. Because these things are probably happening already. Women, you don't have to sit there and go, oh, I don't think I'm working hard enough. I'm sure you are. You probably are, unless you're just being idle, unless you're just, you know. But if you're looking to your house, you probably are doing this. It's for the rest of us to recognize that, to appreciate that, not to take it for granted. Secondly, we see that she develops her domestic skills. This is she recognizes that this is an honorable thing, that this is a valuable thing to develop her domestic skills. Look at verse 13. We see in verse 13 that she seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. Now, again, because this is only illustrative of a principle, it's not expected of all of you women that you're going out there and that you're, you know, pulling cotton off of the plants and combing the cotton or shearing the sheep and working wool. We don't have spinning wheels in operation very much anymore today. It talks about her putting her hand to the wheel and the distaff. Verse 17, she dressed herself with strength and makes her arms strong. You see how she is going to work. Verse 19, she puts her hand to the distaff and her hands to hold the spindle, right? So she's spinning thread. Verse 22, she makes bed coverings for herself, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. She makes her clothes. She makes the linens and things for the house. These are skillful things, and they are things that should be appreciated and honored. A woman has these types of skills. Again, it's not that every woman must, but these are certainly things that should be held in honor, that should be appreciated. Verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them. So she's even making more things beyond the need for the family. So she has developed these skills, and that is part of this trend that we're talking about. It's becoming more popular for women to, you know, to learn to sew once again. That used to be kind of what every woman knew how to do, how to sew, how to darn, how to knit, you know, these sorts of things. Valuable skills. And in our society, many of these things became less necessary through mass production of things and so on. It wasn't always necessarily more beneficial to make things than to buy them and everything. But things change over time, and these certainly are skills that can and should be elevated, that they should be considered. Not the repression of women, oh, sitting home, sewing, poor slave, poor woman. Actually, what an industrious woman. What an amazing skill. That should be appreciated, if that's the case. We see also, thirdly, that she's industrious with her resources. We've touched on a couple of these, but look again, verse 14. She's like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. This woman knows how to shop. Right? That's a skill. That's valuable. That's industrious. The woman who knows how to find a good deal, a good bargain, a way to make the resources of the family go as far as possible and to bring about the best results for her family. Praise God for that. Okay? Shopping skills. Honored in the Bible. Thought you women would appreciate that. Verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. So this woman is industrious in that she can even run her own business out of the home. She has her own funds. She's meant to save away, to pinch, to save, whatever. And then she's taken those extra things and she has purchased property. She's had a vineyard planted. She's making the most of these resources. So she's a good quality in a woman is that she might be business savvy. She might be industrious in that way. Verse 18. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Right? So she knows that she makes quality goods. She strives for quality things, and she recognizes this is profitable. I can make more of this beyond what my family needs, and I can sell some of this. And what does she do? She turns that back around to care better for her family and for others, as we will see. Verse 24, the first part. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. So here he is. Here she is once again. She's making, she's selling, she's doing business. And let's be honest. There's nothing here about her husband guiding all of this. She doesn't, not to sound too, you know, modern feminist, but she doesn't need a man to help her do this. Right? She is industrious. She is clever. She is resourceful. She's achieving these things. So praise God for her. She's a good woman. Next, she looks to the needs of the less fortunate. And this is mentioned only briefly, but it's so important, I think, in verse 20. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. So beyond looking well to her household, she's also mindful of those around her who are in need, and she takes what she has managed to produce, whatever excess she can produce, and she is also using it to meet the needs of those who are less fortunate, those who don't perhaps have people to help them in these ways. And so she's even caring for the needs of the less fortunate. Another brief mention, but so important. And it even so much so that it kind of comes at the climax of the list of qualities when we come to verse 26. Verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She gives godly instruction. What an amazing woman if she can take care of her family, if she can be industrious, if she can help the needy, and on top of all of that, words of wisdom and kindness come from her mouth. She instructs her children. She probably encourages her husband in these things. He could follow her example as he hears her wisdom, as she sees and hears the words of kindness from her mouth. Godly instruction. And the result of these things we see is that she brings honor to her family. Verse 23 and verse 25. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. This is really great. Known in the gates. Now, that's, again, it's a cultural setting where in the ancient cities, in this part of the world, the cities were typically walled, right? We read about those accounts in the Old Testament especially, but it was still true even in the time of Christ. The major cities were protected by walls. And in the gate to the city, the entrance through the walls, there were chambers. Many of these walls were very thick. A lot of times there are actually dwellings and chambers built within the walls. So it's not just a stack of bricks. We're talking, something that in some cases, horses and chariots can run around on the top of the wall. And so you have chambers and things inside. We see that in the case of Jericho. So just inside the gate, there were usually chambers in the wall area there that would kind of act as the chamber of commerce for the city, the town council, the city council. And so that's where the important men would meet in the day to bring about business transactions or to make the administrative decisions on behalf of the city and things like that. So that was the place of business and administration in the gates. And so we see here, because of the quality woman that the man has chosen, he holds his head high when he walks into that public arena. He knows that he kind of has bragging rights because he has an excellent wife. And the men around him respect that. This man married over his head. This man married up. Good for him. There must be something good about him. We can't see it, how guys do, but he can hold his head high in that setting because of his wife. And you see that there's strength and dignity in verse 25. She doesn't need to be embarrassed about anything, nor does her husband. Her whole family is well clad. They are well cared for. She laughs at the things to come. She's not concerned. What there might be a little bit of a famine, that's okay. We've got stores of food. There are shortages of wool this year. That's okay. We've got clothes made. We're ready. We're prepared. She's not concerned because she's well planned. So she brings honor to her family. But what are the responses? Okay, so these are excellent qualities that were found in the virtuous woman. Right, puts her family and household first. She develops domestic skills. She's industrious with her resources. Looks to the needs of the less fortunate. She gives godly instruction, bringing honor to her family. These are all wonderful traits. So now the challenge to us is how to respond, how to recognize this appropriately. So appropriate responses of the family. First of all, public and verbal acknowledgement. And now these things, we come to the end of this passage, and it's really just verses 28 through 31 where this challenge comes, because the mother of the king is mentioning all these things. These are the things to look for, this kind of a woman. But now there's a reminder that there's a responsibility for the person who has such a woman in their life. Verse 28 and 29, we see public and verbal acknowledgement is due to her. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. And this is a quote. This is a suggested words of praise, right? Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Just as Pastor Jesse said this morning, I'm going to give my wife the title, best mom. the words that you shared about your moms today. That is right in line with this challenge of Scripture here, that the virtuous women in our lives deserve to be acknowledged, publicly praised. It's disgusting to me when I have seen the kind of culture, even amongst Christians, or those who would call themselves Christians, who really treat the women in the family as though they are the family servants, and act as though only the man should be elevated. The woman's only there to support him, to make him look good. Now, we see the virtuous woman does make her husband look good, but she also deserves praise. There should be public acknowledgement of her excellence. She's not to be put down. That is not a biblical viewpoint. The subjugation, the degradation of women is not biblical. So public and verbal acknowledgement should be hers. Also, an appropriate response would be recognizing the better qualities and their worth. Just as we've talked about these things, and just as this mother of the king is challenging him, value these things. Sure, there are beautiful women. Sure, there are women who just have sparkling personalities and laughs that just, you know, light up your day and that sort of a thing. But what are the better qualities? What are the better things to be looking for? And so we see in verse 30, this warning, this reminder, charm is deceitful, beauty is vain. It's not bad, it's just that it might be fleeting. And it's not as important as other things. And there's the big contrast. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And there's the great place to begin, ladies, by the way. Begin with the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so if you are to fulfill these things, your relationship with the Lord is important, because he will guide you. He will develop you as he wants to. He will bear the fruit of the Spirit in your life as he desires to. So this is the thing to value. If you are a woman, or someone becoming a woman, as in a girl, not someone transitioning, if you're, these are the things, this is the thing to lean into, is to love the Lord, to fear the Lord, and he will make you the woman he wants you to be. But for the rest of us, we need to acknowledge these are the qualities to be praised. Real qualities. Enduring qualities. A third appropriate response would be allowing her to enjoy the rewards of her industry. The women in our lives don't work just for our benefit, not just for us to take all the, you know, well done, you saved some money this week, you know, I'm going to take that and I'm going to go get a nicer car. No, men. If she's industrious, if she is smart, if she makes those savings and then scrapes that money together to do something with it, you let her do that. She deserves to be allowed to do that. It says, the first part of verse 31, give her the fruit of her hands. It's hers. If she's been industrious, if she's worked hard, she's scraped, she's saved, she's sold, she's whatever it is, that, let her have it. Let her enjoy it. And if she needs a day at the spa, let her have a day at the spa. If she needs a new dress, let her get that new dress. But I tell you what, the virtuous woman you will find probably will not spend all her earnings on herself. You're going to see all these other things will come into play. You don't have to demand it. You don't have to force it. She's going to turn around and she's going to take good care of you. She's going to take care of the family. But she deserves to be honored for her industry. She deserves to be allowed to enjoy the fruit of her labors. That is the instruction to us in God's word. Give her the fruit of her hands. And finally, appropriate response, letting her reputation shine in public. Again, she's not to be subjugated. She's not to be hidden behind the man, the husband, the children. It says, let her works praise her in the gates. If she's achieving, if she's doing good things, then don't hide that. Don't quite try to crush that. Don't try to, you know, don't want my wife to outshine me. Well, what kind of insecure man would you be if that's your attitude? Let her accomplishments shine. If people want to praise your wife, then you should be grateful for that. Because once again, it's a compliment to you. You know, you may, maybe you're the one who doesn't deserve this woman, but you should be grateful. So this is our challenge from God's word. Let her works praise her in the gates. That was the place of business where it was usually the men doing business most of the time, right? But in the gates, perhaps she deserves some honor. If she's achieving things that are deserving of acknowledgement, let that be. So that is all. I hope that that is a maybe an encouraging look at this psalm, because I just know that so many times I think women shrink when they see this psalm and feel like, oh no, here we go again. 20 ways in which I am not all that I should be. I don't think that's what's intended at all. It's just elevating for us God's values in a woman. What kinds of qualities should be valued? What kinds of qualities should be honored? And then we who live around this woman are challenged to appreciate those things, to praise those things, to recognize them. And so I'm glad that we have this day to do this once a year, but let's remember to do it throughout the year. Okay? What does that look like for us? Just a few things to consider, a few wrap-up points. First of all, just be truly thankful for the virtuous women in your life. You know, and I recognize that it's not always necessarily only just your biological mother. It might be an adoptive mother. It might be an auntie. It might be a grandmother. It might be a dear friend of the family who has filled some type of mothering role in your life. Be grateful. Be truly thankful. Actually pray to God and say, thank you for this woman. And do that regularly so that your heart develops an attitude of gratitude for those women in your life. Second, honor them verbally and publicly, and not just on Mother's Day. It's one thing to compliment and honor a person face-to-face, and that's valuable. We all need that. But we see here an example of making praise public. So don't forget to praise those women in your life publicly, to pay the compliment in front of others so that she feels truly honored, because that's an even stronger compliment when you compliment someone in their hearing, but you compliment them in public to others. Then they know you're genuine about it. Thirdly, let them flourish in their industrious pursuits, whatever it might be. If God has led a woman, and it can be at different things, at different stages in life, right? Perhaps she is in the workforce, working out there. Well, if her skill, if her talent, if these things has made her valuable to someone who wants to pay her, and that's her way of doing business to benefit the family, fine, honor and appreciate that. But if she feels that it's time to focus on family, you've got children at home, and she wants to work at home, well then, encourage that and encourage what she can do when she's able. Now, there are stages. We have to be honest. We have to be fair, right? We've got brand new moms who have just got a baby right now. She's down for a while, but she'll come around. And if she's got skills and things that she's managed to do in these days, whether it's, you know, on Etsy or a marketplace or local business or whatever, if she is producing and able to sell and that sort of a thing, great. Encourage it. Support it. Allow her to just flourish with what her skills and talents and desires are to be industrious. And finally, let them enjoy the rewards of their labors, materially and in reputation. Don't rob a woman of the rewards of her labors. Don't be selfish. Don't just absorb everything she does for the family for your own benefit. Allow her to enjoy the reward. We all need that. And if you want to encourage those qualities, you need to allow her to enjoy those things. Let her manage some of those things herself as she sees the need. So there's practical instruction, I think, here for us. In the way that we value the greater qualities and the way that we acknowledge the virtuous women in our lives for the qualities that they display. So let's bring our mothers and mother figures to the Lord in prayer once again today. Father, we just thank you for the women in our lives who have nurtured and supported and taught and provided for and loved us. They are such a gift from you. I pray that you would help us today and throughout the year, throughout our lives, to respond appropriately with gratefulness, with gratitude, with praise for those things, especially for those women who just work quietly, industriously, caring for the people around her, so often overlooked, so often taken for granted. Correct us when we do that. Help us to be mindful, to appreciate these women that you have put in our lives. Encourage the women, Lord, as they labor. And I think it's probably true, you know, the expression that a woman's work is never done. I pray that you would uphold the women in their labors, whether it's at home, whether it's in a workplace, whether she's doing both, whether she's caring for brand new children, whatever her tasks and challenges may be at this stage in life. I pray that you would encourage her in it and give her the strength for it and let her find reward in it as well. Help us to view the people in our lives the way you do. Help us to appreciate the uniqueness that you have built into people, differences between men and women. Help us to view each other as you do, and to honor one another as you would have us to, and to appreciate the greater things, the more valuable things according to your value system. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing together, Oh Great God. There are not a lot of Mother's Day songs, but it is a song that is asking us to allow God to work in our lives to live as we should. And so in a general principle, I think it's applicable. Stand with me, please, and let's sing.